8:38 exactly. Mostly cloudy, 61 degrees. You are listening to The Morning Press, 11,000 big ol' watts of talk radio power. Entertaining information and informative entertainment delivered by moi, Jeff Styles. That guy over there, Jim Reynolds, Kevin West, Sean Paul, keeping his fingers on the pulse of the traffic situations and all the scanner traffic around the air so you'll know what's going on. We have on the line with us U.S. Senator Lamar Alexander, who is heading into town today. And, Senator, what brings you to the Noog, Chattahoochee?
Well, I'm coming down to the Lookout Mountain and visit the Chickamauga Chattahoochee National Military Park. As we talked last time, I talked with you.
Yep.
I have a bill that would take care of the deferred maintenance of the parks. We have a huge backlog of maintenance in the 417 national park sites around the country, and Chattahoochee Chickamauga is one of those. It's one of the most visited. There are nearly a million people who come every year. And then I'm speaking to Kiwanis and going by Sanofi Chatham to look at some issues regarding the regulation of over-the-counter drugs.
Interesting. The first part, of course, I think most of us are going to be for. I mean, most Americans, liberal, conservative, I mean, we like our parks. We like our special places, whether they be just natural beauty or something important, heavy, historically weighty as the military park. And we want them taken care of. I know that they do the best they can on really a shoestring budget. I'd like to see more money flow their way. Maybe carve out a little bit of that military budget and send it over to them. I'm not sure that the generals really asked for as much as they got. But good for you for that. The third thing that you just mentioned, though, that's interesting. We're going to be talking on Friday with an expert, and we've got all the various battle plans against opioid abuse. And you know, we're ground zero around here for that. Everybody declares to be ground zero on opioid abuse, but I know we got a very real problem. Is that something you're going to be dealing with? I know that's not what they make.
You know, I've got a bad connection or something. I can't hear you very well on this phone. I'm driving, but. What did you say was the what was that last
your visit to Chatham? I know that they don't what they produce is not something that's going to be readily abused like opiates and things like that. They're not a pharmaceutical company necessarily.
That's right.
But a lot of
that's
the stuff
right.
that is sold over the counter, of course, as we know, does get turned into things that get abused. I just wondered if that was part of that conversation.
Well, it is part of the conversation. It's a good question. Of course, the other part, so much of the problem with our pharmaceutical drugs, as including the over-counter drugs like Chatham Sanofi produces, is getting them into the medicine cabinets more quickly. There's lots of regulatory slowdown in the name of safety sometimes that's imposed by the Food and Drug Administration that adds to the cost and delays the ability of getting important medicines to people who need them. And so we're working this month in my health committee on legislation that would simplify that regulation, and I want to get a firsthand look at exactly the kind of things we're talking about to make sure that we can continue to assure customers who go to their local pharmacy that what they're buying is safe.
And by the way, it really isn't your phone. It's for some reason the hotline, the line that we have put in here so we can have specifically this kind of conversation with the movers and shakers in the world today is the worst line that we have. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's just the way we like to do things, Lamar. I really don't know why. But I was going to actually, let me switch over real quick to something we talked a little bit about yesterday. I am staunch, no nuke kind of guy. Y-12, I know we've talked for years and years and years and years about it becoming a weapons-producing center. And, of course, we've now taken that big step. I know it's a huge investment. I know a lot of jobs. But there's also,
right.
of course, the now we are, by God, ground zero.
And in your backyard,
yeah,
Senator.
We're doing a lot of things that – are still very experimental in nature, and one little bit of human error can go a long way. And I just wondered if you have any human concern.
Well, you know, I grew up in Maryville, which is near Oak Ridge, and we've talked about that before. And Oak Ridge is, you know, was a target in World War II, because that's where the Manhattan Project was, and it's been at the center of our Cold War activities for a long time. What we do in Oak Ridge, really at the so-called Y-12 plant, is process the uranium that's used in the nuclear weapons that we have. And basically the bombs are dismantled at another place in Texas, and then the uranium is sent to Oak Ridge, to Y-12, to be dealt with. I'm not worried about the safety of that operation. I think the danger we have to watch is to make sure that someone doesn't break in and steal nuclear material. So that's probably the greatest danger, and there's so much security there, particularly after the nun jumped over the fence a few years ago.
I knew her.
Did you really?
Yeah, I knew. I don't think she could get much yellow cake in her habit. It did show some weaknesses.
It's very embarrassing for the whole structure, and they've doubled their effort on security since then.
I'm just one of those that just believe the human error is inevitable. And then I always wonder also when they dismantle them in Texas and bring that stuff here, is it a piggly wiggly truck like Close Encounters? They don't, you know, how does it get delivered? I don't know.
It's not something. You know, the one thing about our nuclear weapons for the last 15 or 20 years is they can't be exploded accidentally.
No, you can't hit them with a hammer and they go off, exactly.
Huh?
You can't just hit them with a hammer and they go off.
No, you can't hit them with a hammer and they go off. They cannot be exploded in that way. Now, one of the problems with the North Korean weapons, is, as far as we know, they can be. And if there were issues in any kind of conflict with North Korea, there could be accidental damage over there. For example, if we were to get into a military conflict with North Korea and drop some kind of bomb on one of their nuclear facilities,
theirs would go up.
That might set off a nuclear weapon. That couldn't happen here.
Now, I do have this mental image of them walking around like with vials of nitroglycerin. You know, just shaking. I know that they're kind of on the back end of it. But you know, do you feel enheartened at all about what's going on there? I mean, maybe it's just, you know, trappings, frippery, I don't know, but
we've got
concerts going on, and there just seems to be the open door since the Olympics, and do you think that's real?
Well, of course, we would hope so. It is more encouraging than anything before, but the whole history of dealing with North Korea has been one of disappointment. Every time we seem like we take a step forward, it goes backward. What may be different this time is that China is more involved, and China is the real source of cash for the North Korean regime, and they've cut off oil shipments and coal shipments to a great extent there, and that seems to have made a difference. Of course, as far as the Olympics go, remember what happened the last Olympics, the day after the Russian Olympics were over.
Yeah.
Putin started invading.
Sure did.
People, so,
the Ukraine, yeah, it went down.
So, but I think we have to hope that the president's meeting in May with the North Korean dictator is a step forward.
Does the president does he bear any burden? I mean, usually, I'm not sure how much of an effect a chief executive has on the stock market, but obviously it's a jittery place, as we know, and just small things can create huge differences. His tweets of late, always intriguing. But seem to have had a pretty devastating effect on the stock market, especially the tech stocks. We've got the tech lash going on now, and he's not letting up. Do you ever get a chance to speak to him and just go, dude, please, for God's sakes, lighten up. Hand me that thing.
I do get a chance to speak to him. I talked to him quite a bit. We were trying to work on health insurance the last few weeks. Senator Kennedy of Louisiana said, Mr. President, we're exhausted. Could you give us a few days?
He's the one with our best quote, by the way.
Yeah, he is. We're stealing his quote and putting it on a T-shirt.
When he said, founded by geniuses, run by idiots.
America, founded by geniuses, run by idiots. Now, but present company accepted.
He comes up with one about every other day. But
yeah.
I think the bigger impact is what I'm more worried about is the tariffs. Taxes are down. Regulations are down. The economy's good. Everybody you meet who is trying to hire people says they can't hire enough people, so they're raising wages. All that's good. But the prospect of tariffs on steel and aluminum
and sparkling wine,
even a trade war with China, that's not good for our state.
Yeah, that is not. It is not something that you would have thought a candidate Trump or businessman Trump would have ever engaged in. A kind of an isolationism and tariff war. That's not, of all the things that worried me about him, and there were plenty, and still do, that's not one of them. I would have thought he would have been a world,
a free trader
all the way.
So, Senator, if we have an $800 billion trade deficit with China, what do you do? What do you do with that to bring that more in line?
Well, fair trade should be the objective. Now let's talk about trade deficit with, let me turn your question a little bit, with Mexico and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The trade deficit with Mexico and Canada is irrelevant. And I've said that to the president, and he did really, I think he was surprised to hear it. And here's why, because Mexico has about 1% of the world's gross domestic product, the world's wealth. Canada has about 2%. We have 25%. So it's very difficult for us to trade with two countries with that little money and not have a trade deficit. We spend about one half of 1% of all of our money buying stuff from Mexico and Canada. They spend about a quarter of all their money buying stuff from us. And if our economy gets better, which is beginning to now, we'll have a bigger trade deficit. So the trade deficit with those two countries is irrelevant. With China, they're an economy about the size of ours. That's an indication that trade with them may not be fair. But I think the bigger problem with China are things like intellectual property. They're mm-hmm. stealing our intellectual property. That may not be the source of a trade deficit, but it's a source of unfair trade. We ought to stop that if we can.
I don't think there's been a whole lot of difference there in a long time. They steal our ideas, make them better, and then sell them back to us at much cheaper rates.
Yeah.
And big box stores that kill downtowns.
That's true, pattern. But you have to be careful with all this tariff stuff. For example, what people overlook, I'll give you a specific example. Electrolux is a big appliance manufacturer.
Correct.
They're about to expand $250 mm-hmm. million in Springfield, Tennessee. They buy all their steel in the United States, but they put their new project on hold when the tariff was announced, because when you put a tariff on the small amount of imported steel that's coming in, all the domestic steel producers raised their prices, and so the new price for the Tennessee plant in Springfield, Tennessee, for steel was going to be so high it would make them uncompetitive with foreign manufacturers. So that's the problem. That's one problem with tariff. Our tire companies all have steel cord baked into their tires. That's Bridgestone, Hankook, two of the biggest in the world. They're mm-hmm. Tennessee plants. None of that steel cord is made in the United States.
Hmm.
So you're just adding to the cost of their production and making them less competitive and raising our prices.
And of course, we were the Dynamo of Dixie, a huge producer of steel, iron, copper, all kinds of metals back in the day. And I don't know that you ever see those smokestack industries return, but some of those jobs could in smaller ways, I know. And I know that you've kind of been a fan of recycling old ideas and things of that nature. It's what they're doing up in Y-12. I mean, they're recycling the old warheads into new warheads. I mean, it just makes sense. And I got to ask you real quick. Well, first of all, I got a great idea for a shovel-ready project. The Privet and Kudzu both came from China, and we could just get all the unemployed people, all the people, get work crews, dig that crap up, airlift it, and drop it back over there and let them deal with it.
I'm with you. I hate that stuff.
golly, man, it's just killing me right now, trying to be an outdoorsman, and it's just coming alive. But now I was going to ask you really quickly about something kind of offbeat, and that's the whole Sinclair Broadcasting thing. We have a big TV station here owned. One of our old co-workers works at a radio station owned by them up in Knoxville. And I know you know what I'm talking about, this forcing the anchors to read these things and telling them they got to put on editorial comments. And, you know, the media have taken a beating of late. This isn't helping at all. And the president has given his support, and he thinks it is great. I just wanted to get your take on that, and you've been a broadcaster.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I know about that. Tell me, I must have missed something of Blount County.
Well, Sinclair, is not Cumulus, is not Clear Channel, but it's pretty big, and they have been from on high sending down editorial statements telling stations that they have to carry certain commentators who are ultra right, and have actually had anchors reading the same public service announcement about
fake news in all their markets. Yeah.
And it really comes off as being cheesy, in your face, and accusing competitors of being not real news. I think some of them actually say the words fake news. That probably shouldn't be coming out of anchors' mouths, in my opinion. It's a step closer to state-run media is what it sounds like to me. That's where we don't want to go.
You know, I don't guess I tuned into that. It sounds to me like the consolidation of radio stations that in the music business, when Loretta Lynn, used to drive around the country and peddle her records at each little station, and then after a while, all the stations were consolidated, and they were told from on high what records to play, and so you didn't do that anymore. I think people trust their local radio station, their local newspaper, a lot more than they trust anybody else, because they don't trust people at a distance telling them what to do. So hopefully that kind of thing will backfire.
That's the reason that we do what we do. Is there anything you'd like to say to the folks out there?
The only other thing is that's important is that the new funding bill last week provided, or 2 weeks ago, provided the fourth straight year funding for Chickamauga Lock with twice as much money. And I think what that means for Chattanooga and East Tennessee is a way to ship goods at a cheaper cost, and that we're on a path toward actually getting that done. It used to be herky-jerky. We get it 1 year, not the next year. We should have a fifth year approved within the next few months. And at that rate, I think we're actually going to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
That'll be a beautiful thing. And we've been watching that with great interest. Obviously, we need it up, running, bigger, better, and we needed to have the Asian carp stopper. We need to work on that too. So, they said the good folks in Chattanooga, Tennessee came up with a good idea.
That'll be a public-private enterprise.
Just electroshocks. I hope you're not in an inner tube. Here you go. All right. Thank you very much, Senator.